For the benefit of those listening to this recording on the Sacramento Valley Intergroup website, this was recorded during the Recovery Roadmap Workshop on Saturday, August 21, 2021. The three speakers include Lynn H. from Santa Rosa, California, Barbara R. from Santee, California, and Marilyn C. from Chula Vista, California. You'll hear a short share from Lynn H., followed by Ask It Basket questions and answers from all three speakers.
Okay, and now let us welcome our first speaker, Lynn H.
So I learned about myself that I have, I still have issues with control. Being the director on the stage is my happy place. Whether or not they want to go along with me, that's not my business. And I know from doing the same fourth step that, I think it was Barbara talked about, I have that same form that, you know, the question is, have I ever done these things to other people? The answer is yes, absolutely. But not only have I tried to manipulate other people to do what I want, I've tried to manipulate my sponsors. I've tried to manipulate God by telling God what I want to have happen. And instead of asking, thy will be done, what is thy will for me today? Saying, I want this and I want that. So it's like the vending machine principle of God. You put in the request and you push a button in. I've learned to give that up, but I do sometimes have to I do become aware of when I am trying to take control and then I step back. Dishonesty, federal prison, that has been a big one for me. Because I have lied to sponsors. I've lied to employers. I have lied to my husband. By omission, not commission. And I don't do that anymore. I speak the truth. And if they're not happy with that, that's okay with me. So that was one of my road stops, was fessing up to my sponsor too. That was horrible. And I have this amazing sponsee and she tells me everything. And I keep telling her, boy, you are teaching me so much about being honest without being judgmental of myself. This is what I do. This is what I did. And this is what I am asking God to help me with. So that goes along with the mount of lies. There was a huge mount of lies that was getting bigger and bigger behind me. And every day I would start a new day and say, today I'm going to be honest. And so I learned that that only retards my recovery. Lengthens the journey because when I'm not being honest, then I'm not, working the step. The step requires honesty. And I always listen carefully when they say the only people who are not successful in this program are those who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. And I have to ask myself, am I constitutionally incapable? Am I one of those? And so I have to move past that by being open and honest. And I have also, a road stop was perfectionism. If I didn't want to do a perfect share, I wasn't going to share. Not at this level, but also not at the meeting level. If my absence wasn't perfect, I wasn't going to share. And so I've learned to let go of that because none of us are perfect. Perfect means complete, spiritually complete. I can strive for spiritual completeness. I can do that by prayer, meditation, serving God in any capacity, asking God's will for me. And again, I think I mentioned in my talk, again, the self-sufficiency. Self-sufficiency got me to where I am now, got me into the program. Self-sufficiency got me to the weight I was at. I'm not there anymore. I'm so grateful for that. I'm not where I need to be. But I'm walking that way. It's working for me because I'm no longer self-sufficient. Lynn's program does not work. I am God sufficient. So God is sufficient to help me through anything. And I think I'll try God's way. It's like either God is everything or God is nothing. I'm not one of those halfway people. I say, well, God can do this and this, but can't do that and that. Either God is everything. God is in everybody in this meeting. Or God is not in any of you, and that's not true. I know that's not true, and so therefore the other side is God is everything. I've heard people say, I never bothered God with my food plan. Does God care what I eat? Yes. Yes, God does care, because when I numb out, I'm of no use to God. I say no to people who call and say, will you speak? No, I'm too busy. And then I make up a lie. I'm too busy. I just had surgery 2 weeks ago. It's no big deal anymore. So that's me. That's my honesty about where my stops retarded. I'm going to use the word retarded. I was a high school teacher, never used the word in class. Don't believe in that word. I have a cousin who has mental problems. But it slowed down my recovery. I just want to end with, I realized in this program that I belong in another program too. And because it was the last thing I was always eating about. And it was my relationship with my husband and all the resentments I had. So I started another program and I went in there and I got a sponsor and I started working the steps. I started sharing and everybody was, oh, you are so amazing. And I said, yeah, I spent 27 years in the other program. I'm not going to waste that time. I'm going to cut to the chase, get a sponsor, work the steps and get sponsors. So, I just thought if I had done this in this program, who knows? Who knows? But I am where I am and I accept that. So that's me.
Have any of you actually used this roadmap to work the steps or sponsor others? And that's open to any of the three speakers. Have any of you actually used this roadmap to work the step or sponsor others?
I'm Barbara, compulsive overeater, and this is the first time I have seen this roadmap. I have not, but it's a good, it is another good tool to use. I'm liking it.
Anybody else?
I have to second that. This is Marilyn, compulsive overeater. I was not presented as far as having this roadmap lined out like this, except for this particular time.
Great. Thanks, Marilyn. Okay, question for any of the three speakers. How have you worked the program living in a smaller town?
This is Lynn. I can address that. Even though I don't live in a smaller town, since the pandemic began, I have been Zooming everywhere to fit my schedule, and I have started accepting sponsees virtually also. And if we go back to hybrid or whatever, face-to-face, I will still be Zooming with these sponsees because we've worked together in this very difficult time that we're all experiencing. I attend meetings in Cleveland, Ohio, London, England, and where they don't say perfect, I like this, they say brilliant, it's brilliant. So I've substituted the word perfect for brilliant. And I've also worked with people here in my hometown on Zoom because it's more convenient for them. So I think Zoom is going to be a big part of my work with my sponsees from now on. I'm just grateful I had to learn it. And I'm grateful because I never would have learned it without this situation here. So I'm grateful. And I'm grateful I can go to a workshop or wherever the heck I please. I've been to conventions in the East Coast, Texas, Alaska this year, and all sorts of different places. So that is, and grateful in our last convention, the Region 2 convention, that Mexico was included and with translation. So that it blew me away. Also with closed captioning. For people who are hearing impaired, that blew me away because we have changed. You know, Mexico has always been part of our region. The question is, how do we get them up here to participate in workshops? And we have somebody in the workshop today who is from Mexico. So I'm grateful for that possibility.
Thank you, Lynn. Anybody else want to talk about working a program in a smaller town? Okay. Any of the three speakers? What is the three-legged stool, and how do you make or keep your program using a three-legged stool principle?
Well, that's exactly what I wrote. I started my theme on it was the three-legged stool, and it's physical, emotional, spiritual. And it's also the thing that struck me when I came in was that all those things were mentioned. People were talking about their feelings. And so it wasn't another diet club. It wasn't someone handing me a sheet. I didn't come in. I think the gray sheet and all that was just petering out maybe about that time. Or I just avoided it maybe. Because that was the herd mentality for me, was being in it, you know, they just pass it out, same thing to everyone. You fat guys, you just, you know, here, take this, eat right. It wasn't even eat right. I didn't know. It was just eat this. So the physical, yes, I spent a lot of time in the beginning because there was another key phrase about came for vanity, stayed for sanity. Also, I was a lot younger 30 years ago. But the emotional needed to be addressed. I am an emotional eater and I'm an emotional person. I'm big and passionate. And I wouldn't have known that. I was just I'm kind of a mess when you try to hold all that stuff in. So that was a key to unlocking where all this hunger was coming from. The spirituality I needed a lot of work on. The first thing my first sponsor ever gave me was write a resentment list for its G-O-D. And that was kind of a long list at the time. So I believed in God, and I was pissed. So it was cool. I got to do a lot of work in that area. So one of my really good longtime sponsors, she's passed away now, but also was talked a lot about the three-legged stool, and I came to really understand that. It wasn't about the outsides. I'd never been bulimic. I don't like throwing up. And I'd never met a bulimic. And when I came in, if you were just looking at people on surface value, those were all the beautiful people. So that was everything us fat girls aspired to. I want to be like you. Until I began listening to bulimics. And my heart just broke at the suffering and the misery that went on inside there. You know, so OA has been my teacher on many levels. And this disease is a lot deeper than just what we look like on the surface. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Marilyn. I'm going to break up the questions now for specific speakers. I have some questions for Lynn, Marilyn, and Barbara. Lynn, here's a question for you. Can you talk more about what it means to make your higher power your highest power?
Yes, this is a new change for me because I was, as in the big book says, you know, I was sometimes an agnostic. I thought God was out there and could be there, but I didn't need him right now. And then sometimes I was very spiritual where, you know, I am very active in my church. There's a lot of service there, too. It's strongly aligned with my program. I just have to remember that I have limits, but my God does not have any limits. I realized that when we said the set-aside prayer this morning, it's a start, which is what I say every day, that I set aside everything I think I know about God so I can have a spiritual awakening. Let me set aside everything I know about my program so God has an inch to get in where I have, you know, I know the program, I know how it works, to, okay, I'm going to set that aside so I can allow my higher power or my highest power to reach me. Because I think somebody in program once told me we have a thread that goes up to our higher power from our head. And what we do is we take a pair of scissors and we snip it. And then we're on our own. And that's what I was doing all the time. And so now, turning my will and my life over to my highest power means I'm out of the equation completely. And that I ask every day that I will do God's will. I want to know God's will for me, and I ask for the power to carry that out. Prayer is a big part of my program. I have done God letters. My sponsor had me write God letters, which always bring me to tears, because then I have to tell the truth. And they also call it two-way prayer. There are meetings online, two-way prayer meetings, where you can directly, you know, have a discussion, a discourse with your higher power. So for me, the highest power keeps reminding me that I have a limit. And every day I think it's smaller than I think it is. Because God is unlimited and I am limited. Either God is everything or God is nothing. And I know God must be everything, because one of our speakers said in my small breakout room that she had done a convention. Now, when I did the convention 2 years ago, the person who asked me to do it said, Lynn, it's not your convention, it's God's convention. And so that took the humility, put the humility where it belongs. Because everything I do, the sponsoring I do, it's not my me, it's my higher power. And so that's what I mean by my highest power, because sometimes I try to slip in over God.
Great.
As you know, I want to do my will.
This question is for Marilyn. Marilyn, how do you deal with the boatload of feelings without eating?
Still on that journey, I swear. You know, I've kind of learned that, what's the one word thing you want? God. Okay. Probably meditation and calming myself, checking where my feet are. Look at your feet. That's like, oh, here I am. Pause. I have a friend. It's the pause. I've listened to some people. They say, okay, it's like training a dog. Stay. That's what they're feeling. Because, you know, right before I had any tools whatsoever, that's the only thing in the toolbox. So now I consider that I have a lot more tools, and if, which I try on a daily basis to just say, it's okay, I have people to call, that's what's called the fellowship. I swear to God, we need each other, honestly. This is not a program to be worked alone.
Thank you, Marilyn. This question is for Barbara. Barbara, how do you use the program to deal with anger? I really struggle with it.
Okay, anger. I don't get angry. Oh, that's a lie. That is a lie. One time I was getting extremely angry when I was in a restaurant that somebody that I didn't even know that was sitting over there that was getting service, and we weren't getting service anyway. And I knew better that I needed to get up and get out. And so I called my sponsor and she wasn't there. And then I called somebody else. And then I called somebody else and she says, well, you know, Barbara, she says, the grouch and the brainstorm are not for you. And I go, oh, thanks a lot. But it did make me laugh, and I was outside this restaurant, and it was hotter than heck, and I just walked around this restaurant and around and around and around till I got to, yeah, the grouch and the brain, it's not for me. I need to go back in and sit down, and I was fine, and they said, are you okay? And my family said, are you okay? And I said, yeah. And I will never forget that the grouch and the brainstorm are not for me. And if there's something else that's something different than that kind of a thing, is I just have to sit down and write to God. I didn't have that opportunity there. But I just sit down and I said, this is what's going on, God. What would you have me do? And then I write the word God, and God tells me what to do. And then, anyway, I just have to take it. I have to take it as it comes, and I will make a phone call to anybody to help me get through it if I can't figure it out myself. So thanks.
Thank you, Barbara. This question is for any speaker. Have you had difficulty with willingness to surrender foods that don't support your abstinence? If so, how did you surrender them?
No, I'm Barbara. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I have not had that problem. And so that's why I guess I was moving my hand. That was what I wasn't going to do on this. But the reason I don't have it in my brain, the reason I don't have it is because I know that from where I came to where I am today was not me doing it. And it wasn't necessarily OA and the big book doing it. There was a higher power. And faith, for me, faith is the result of results. And I started my abstinence and the weight came down. I kept my abstinence. I went to workshops. I went to step studies. I did all of that. And then after a while, well, it's like if you're going to go to get your car fixed and you go to somebody you don't know and they do a good job. If your car doesn't work again later on down the road, a year from now or something, you're going to go back to that person that did it well. And so that's just the, you know, I don't know, that is the way I am. And I just, this program has saved my life, and I keep doing what I did. And if other things come up that I need to start doing or start looking at, I'll do it. So, that's all I got.
Thank you, Barbara. This question is for Lynn. Lynn, what is your process of not taking others' opinions personally on diets that work? What is your process of not taking others' opinions personally on diets that work?
Interesting question, because first of all, they may work for them, but I know they're not going to work for me, because I know that I have an allergy to certain foods. They make me break out in fat and compulsive eating. Those are my red light foods. I mean, people talk about red light, yellow light, green light. For me, there's red light and green light. I dumped all my yellow light foods into the red light, because what are they doing in the middle? Does it mean I can eat them sometimes and sometimes not? Do I want to go near the edge or not? So I went to a nutritionist at my health provider. I got a food plan. She met with me a couple times. I told her I was in OA, a 12-step program. She knew about it. She gave me a food plan because I told her I was afraid of losing weight quickly. And so I've lost it slowly, but continually downward path. No sense, but downward. And what other people say, I just say, you know, I just think to myself, I'm glad it works for you. In the very back of my mind, I think, let's see how long this works for you. Because I have seen people who come, and mainly their family members, who come to me with these new plans. And I kind of want to try it and see if it works, but I don't, because I know I'm working with a real professional, a nutritionist. And I am in another program about what other people think of me is none of my business. So what works for them, if I ever want to try it, I would talk about it with my sponsor, but I know what she would say. And so I'm not tempted to do to people please. I think about God pleasing. What does God want me to do? And I do watch and see what happens to these family members with their plans. And over the long run, they don't have the mental or the spiritual recovery that I got when I was in this program. And I've asked them to come, even if they have had whatever they have. I invite them to OA also, because they belong here too. It doesn't matter what food plan they have there. They're welcome to come here and do their food plan, because we don't have a food plan.
Great.
That's an option.
Thank you, Lynn.
Mm-hmm.
This question is for Marilyn. Marilyn, how do you cultivate love and tolerance? I struggle with being judgmental.
Okay. I think over the years, having the love and acceptance that I've learned in my groups was helpful. I think the work of learning to know myself and having a very personal relationship with God at this point, or for many years now, I needed to accept love. I needed to learn loving myself. And myself included the child that I kept kind of locked in a closet. Because that's where everything started, and a lot of the self-hate. I have certainly been full of it. I've been full of self-hate and criticism. This is the way my higher power works with me. I have had him say, it's been a long time ago, but when God, your inner God speaks to you, it kind of stays with you forever. He said, Marilyn, put down the whip. And I knew that I could no longer treat myself in this special way. And originally, how I had to start changing that, he pointed out another girl that I loved, a person that was in program with me. And he said, would you ever say that to her? I said, not only would I never say those things to her, I would never think those things about her. You know, there was compassion in my heart. I know the struggle. I knew the suffering and how she suffered with the disease. He said, I want you to translate that. This has to go on you, because I'll never be able to transmit that or even understand what those words mean until I know them from the very depth of my soul. That's why for me, it's going deeper. And if that's something that I can give back now, that's a key to my program. Thank you.
Thank you, Marilyn. This is a question for all three speakers today. Can you talk about your gratitude practice?
Yeah, this is Lynn. I live in gratitude every day. I had a sponsor once who had me make gratitude lists, and that has become part of my head. It's part of my mind now. And it's amazing because no matter what happens to me, I am grateful for the things that didn't happen along with it. I have been through some pretty horrendous things. Even when I broke my baby finger and actually almost lost it, I thought, well, at least I have health insurance. I'm grateful I have that. I'm grateful it's my baby finger, because if I had to choose which one to go, it was going to be that one. I was grateful that I have a wonderful surgeon who told me that it was very complex, but she did it and she proved it. She showed me on the fluoroscope where you can move your hand and with all the pins and stuff. So for me, it's all in perspective. And I was complaining about, I'm a right-handed person and it's my right hand. But I had a student once who was born without an arm. She didn't even have anything. It was just one arm. Perfect hair, perfect makeup, did her homework, very outgoing. And I asked her once, you know, how do you do it with one arm? And she goes, what I don't understand is how you guys do it with two. Doesn't one get in the way? And she said, imagine if you had three legs, where would you put that leg? And I thought, wow, that is perspective, because she didn't see it as a handicap, but she was grateful that, you know, I don't know. I just think that I have been through some very serious issues in my family and also with myself. And I am just always grateful that it wasn't worse. And I always listen to you guys about what you share, especially as I get older, with the people more old than I, I don't know how to say that correctly, because I'm going to go through that too. When you get to be 80, you're going to go through what they're all talking about, and 90, you're going to go through what they're talking about. So I listen intently about how you deal with your issues, and I'm grateful for those conversations. Because when I, before program, I would never discuss it with anybody. And so at least I have you guys. And I had a sponsor who had breast cancer, had breasts removed and other things. And I thought, you know, she is a shining example of how to go through it absently and with dignity. And so if it ever happens to me, I know who to call. So for me, I'm grateful for these rooms where we're really honest with each other and share not only what works, but what doesn't work. You know, all the red things, I figured out pretty soon, I'm pretty smart. Figured out all the red things on this map, those are the no-nos. The green things are what we strive for. So I'm grateful that we bring everything into program. And there's nothing we can't talk about.
Fine.
Thank you so much, Lynn. We are running out of time. We're only going to go to 1 o'clock, and I have lots more questions. But here's a question for everyone. Here's a question for Marilyn. Do you have a food and step sponsor, and what is your process with them?
At this point in my life, I'm one of those going to be 80 next month. So yeah, all right. Listen up, kiddos. No. I do send in my food every night. I mean, over these years, I've done everything. I've had gone to nutritionists, written it down, written the food down and the emotion down. You know, there's go ahead and try everything. You know, so some things will just stick. Some things will kind of drift off on their own. So I send my food in every night. I don't pre-plan at this point. And I think it's part of my personality. I have to be careful of certain contacts, because what happens is it just becomes an idol. The spontaneity and the authenticity goes out. So I know that if I'm going to the restaurant with someone, I can find something on there I can eat. You know, somehow they'll fix it. And so I kind of abstinence, I heard years ago, was a loose, make it a loose fitting garment so that you're not always losing it. I, was at a meeting where some guy lost his abstinence over a Tic Tac. No, that's not me. I'm not going there. This is a life journey. I want to incorporate it, and I want to be in service and open enough to hear how people do it.